Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In the 13th chapter of the Old Testament book of Numbers, we read the report how the 12 spies that had been sent out by Moses to review the land of Canaan had come back to give their report. Now, when you read this report, you have both a positive and a negative report. Moses had selected one man out of each tribe to go from the place of Kadesh Barnea to go into the land of Canaan, to which they were going out of having come out of Egypt, to see and to spy out what kind of land it was. Now God had already told them it was a land that flowed with milk and honey, and that is significant when you come to the report that these spies gave. And they were gone for 40 days on their mission. And they come back and to report that the land was indeed a land that flowed with milk and honey. That simply meant that it was a very prosperous land, a very promised land, a very indeed potentially a happy land for them in which to live. But there was also a negative report concerning this land, and it had to do with the inhabitants of the land. They said that there were giants there, and their cities were walled, and that the Israelites were made to appear to be like grasshoppers in comparison to them. Now, of course, this was certainly an exaggeration, but it was a very discouraging report. The Bible says, "And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, and would God that we had died in this wilderness." But now there were two spies out of the 12, named Joshua and Caleb, that gave a very different slant, and their report was quite different. We read here from the book of Numbers their report. "And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, they rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land, and will give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. And then they persuaded the people, Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, for their defense is parted from them. And the Lord is with us, fear them not." Well, this report, the people had a reaction that was certainly not to be expected. They so strongly objected to what Joshua and Caleb said that they wanted to stone those two men to death. Certainly the actions and the attitudes of the Israelites at this time expressed a certain ingratitude to God and to Moses and to their leadership. And the 10 spies and the people of Israel exhibited and demonstrated a spirit of disobedience to God. Now, in the New Testament, Paul wrote to the Gentiles, and he said, recorded in the book of Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit," now watch it, "the spirit that worketh now in the children of disobedience." Well, that's the kind of people that were there then to time back in the book of Numbers. They were children of disobedience. Again, he warned them, "Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." Well, as a result of accepting the report of the 10 spies rather than the 2, Israel was made to wander in the wilderness one year for each day that the spies had been gone. Therefore they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. In fact, before they entered into the promised land of Canaan, all of those who were 20 years old and upward died in the wilderness, except Joshua and Caleb. But now Joshua and Caleb, you see, they were of a different spirit. It is said in Numbers 14, "But my servant David, Caleb, because he had a different spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess him." Friend, what is obedience to God? I want to teach you this in this lesson, that obedience to God requires more than just an outward performance of certain mechanical acts, such as maybe a soldier might perform at the command of his general. The soldier might do exactly what he is told to do, but he hates every minute of it, and every movement of it he despises. But so long as he carries out the orders and is said to have done what the commander commanded, then we would say, well, he obeyed his commander. But obedience to God involves more than that. Obedience to God, friend, must come from the heart. Paul wrote, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked." And then he talks about their former condition, "that ye were the servants of sin. But, notice, ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." You find this in Romans, the 6th chapter. What I want to remind us just here is this. Obedience to God involves attitude, and it also involves action. It involves both of them, dear friend. We can't just do what God says in our action and call that the proper obedience. And it's the same thing is true, for instance, when we worship. Jesus said, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Now, to worship in truth means to worship, of course, according to the Word of God, because the Word of God is truth, John 17:17. But to worship him in spirit, that means the heart must be involved. And the heart must be involved in living a righteous life. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, Paul said, "Flee youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Yes, our obedience to God, our worship to God, our lives before God, all of our service before God is a matter of the heart. In Ephesians 6 and verse 6, Paul says, "Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." Even when we serve men, we are to do it in a fashion that comes from the heart. Now, obedience means doing the right thing, of course, but it has to be with the right motive, with the right intent, with the right understanding. It has to be done voluntarily. It has to be done willingly. It has to be done with the desire to please God. So we must develop in the heart the right attitude toward the commands of God, therefore possess an obedient spirit. Do you have an obedient spirit? How can we know if we have an obedient spirit? What are the marks of an obedient spirit? Well, I think a closer look at Joshua and Caleb will help us to understand what an obedient spirit involves. It means to have a spirit of humility and submission and self-denial. You know, the proud egotist never bows to the will of anybody, not even God. He is all for himself. He has to have his own way. We read, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross," Philippians 2 and verse 5. Our attitude must be like that of Christ when he was on the cross. "Not my will, but thine be done." Jesus taught, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." You see, Joshua called the refusal to go up to Canaan rebellion against God. It was his desire that they humble themselves to obey God. Regardless of what was the cost to themselves, he was humble enough to put God before himself. And also, an obedient spirit means doing what God says, whether anybody else is willing to obey him or not. Now, while we don't parade our faith before others so they'll praise us, we're to do what we do, not just to be different, but because that's what God wants us to do. Joshua and Caleb understood that, and they had to stand alone. Well, sort of like Daniel did and Moses did. In fact, nearly every first faithful servant of God has to do that. Doing right just because others do right is not really having the right kind of obedient spirit. Those who will obey just because others obey are likely to disobey when others will disobey. Now, we don't dismiss the value and the power of good influence, but our reason to obey must be more than simply because other people are also obeying. Joshua said, "Choose ye this day whom you will serve, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That was an influence to cause people to do what God said, but they needed to do what God said, not because Joshua did, but because that's what God told them to do. Have you ever noticed that sometimes people have a falling out with one another, and one of them will say, "Well, I'll forgive him if he'll forgive me." Friend, that's the right attitude. Sometimes people, I've heard people say, "I'll be baptized if he'll be baptized." Friend, that's the wrong attitude. We're to do what God says, regardless of what anybody else says or does. And that was the kind of spirit and attitude that was exhibited by Joshua and Caleb. Yes, indeed, they had an obedient spirit. They humbled themselves before God. They knew there were difficulties in taking the land of Canaan. They knew it wouldn't be just a pushover. But they also knew that they had to do that because God had told them to do it. That's the instruction of the Lord, and we are to obey what he says and submit our will to his. And even though nobody else is willing to do it, we must be willing to do the will of the Lord and do what is right in the sight of God, not just because those round about us might be doing it, but because we want to please God above everybody and everything else. Now, we're going to talk about the obedient spirit a little bit more in a second lesson. Remember, Jesus said that those who obey him, they're the ones that he's going to save. Christ, the author of salvation, to them that obey him. So we want to have the right kind of obedient spirit, and we can have it if we will do as did Joshua and Caleb. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.